So we're holding at the top of Dalet Amud Aleph. We learned yesterday the Gemara had talked about the importance of Lashon Nekiya, about using clean and refined language. And that led the Gemara to tell a couple of stories about people. Good morning, Ellie. That led the Gemara to tell a couple of stories about people that who spoke in a certain way, which showed that they were refined, or the other way around. They had the story of the Goy who pretended to be a Yid, where from what he said, when he asked for the Aliyah, they put two and two together and realized that he's a Goy. So here the Gemara gives another example where a person, and you had also the example where Rav Kahana had passed away, and Rav Yeshua Beredir of Idi didn't want to say outright that he had passed away. He just left it to them to draw their own conclusions. So now the Gemara has a similar story. The introduction, Rav Bar Achua de Rav Chia u Bar Achse. Rav was both the son of Rav Chia's brother and the son of his sister. Meaning, Rashi says, what you had is like this. There was a family with four boys named Ivu, Chana, Shila, and Marta. They all had the same parents. Then their mother passed away or got divorced, and their father eventually married a woman who had a daughter of her own named Ima. So the two of them got married. So now those four boys, Ivu, Chana, Shila, and Marta, have a stepsister who's not at all related to them. They don't have the same father or the same mother. Eventually, their parents, their father was named Rav Acham Mikafri. Their mother's name we don't know. Anyway, they had a son together who was Rav Chia. So Rav Chia is a half brother to the boys; they share the same father, and a half brother to the girl Ima; they shared the same mother. When they got older, then Ivu, one of the boys, married Ima. So now Rav Chia is, and then they had a child, Rav. So therefore, Rav Chia is Rav's double uncle. He's an uncle on his father's side. He's a half brother to his father and a half brother to his mother. Anyway, so the Gemara continues: Ki solik lahasam when Rav came to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Chia was already living in Eretz Yisrael for a long time like that, by that point. Eventually, Rav came as well. Omale, so Rav Chia asked him, Ivu Kayam, is Ivu still, Ivu, your father, which is my brother, still alive? And Rav didn't want to tell him outright that not. Omale, Ema Kayemis. So he says, like in a questioning tone of voice, and Ema, why aren't you asking about her? She's your sister also. In other words, Rav Chia realized from what Rav is saying that he didn't answer the question directly, that Ivu had already passed away. Amale, so Rav Chia says, Ema Kayemes, okay, so is Ema, your mother, my half-sister, still alive? Amale, so Rav answers him back again with a question, Ivu Kayem, and what about Ivu? In other words, you asked me about Ivu, and I haven't answered yet. So in other words, Rav Chia understood from what Rav is saying that both of them had already passed away. Rashi brings another explanation that in each case Rav didn't answer with a question, but rather with a statement. He said, I asked Ivu Kayem and he answered him, Ima Kayemes, and vice versa. Rashi says that doesn't really work, because then it would come out that Rav is saying something not true. He's saying Ima Kayemes, and in fact, she had already passed away. Tosfos brings another girsa from Rabbeinu Hananel, that he asked him, that Rav Chia asked about his own father, if he's still alive, and Rav answers him that my father, meaning your brother, Ivu, is still alive. And the same thing as far as the mother, Rav Chia asked if his own mother was alive, and Rav says my mother is alive, from which he puts two and two together and realizes it means that his parents have passed away. Omer le l'shamei, so the Gemara continues, Rav Chia told his servant, Chaloitz li min olai, take off my shoes for me, because an oval is not allowed to wear shoes. So he's going to say, he's going to sit avelus, v'hoylech kelai achrei leves hamerchatz, and then carry my clothes after me to the bathhouse. In other words, because I want to go bathe. So why did he do that? Shma min atlas, because this way we can learn three halachas from what Rav Chia did. Shmamina oval osbin ilos a sandal. Number one, we learn that an oval is not allowed to wear leather shoes, which the Gemara discusses that point in Moed Cotton. So we see from this story that he can't, because he's telling him to take off his shoes. O shmamina shmur rechoika ein nehegas ela yemechad. Number two, We see that a shmur rechoika, where you only found out the news long afterwards, in this case, Ivo and Ima, or according to Tosfos, Reb Chiya's parents, had passed away long before. By the time he got the news through Rav, it was much more than 30 days later. That kind of thing is called a shmur rechoika. It's called a far. It's called a news which is far away from the original event. And the din is you don't have to sit full shiva for that. So shmur rechoika einan heges ela yom echad. You only have to sit shiva in that case for one day. Ushmamina, and we see it's not even one full day. Mikta sayem kukulai in this and in general with dinim of avelos, part of the day is like the full day, which is why we have when a person sits shiva, they get up in the morning, they daven shachris, and then immediately they get up because once they've sat shiva part of the day, then it's the equivalent of the whole day. So the same thing, once he sat shiva for a short bit by taking off his shoes, then already he's allowed to go to the bathhouse and bathe, even though normally you're not allowed to do that during shiva because mikta sayem kukulai. So we learn all that from what Reb Chiya did. The Rishonim, by the way, argue over here, would he have had to tear Kriya? Part of that depends on the question of which relatives are we talking about. If we're talking about his parents, like Rabbi Nachananel says, then maybe he should have torn Kriya for them as well, but maybe not because it's a Shmur Rechoika. If you say that it's his brother and sister, then maybe there's more leeway in that anyway.
I thought he would say, let's sit down. I want to sit down first, and I'll sit down as morning, and then go to the bathhouse. It looks like
when he says take off my shoes. In other words, that's showing avelus. Rashi says leis abel al ochi va'achosi, that I'm gonna do that. I'm gonna take off my shoes to show avelus, to prav avelus for my brother and sister. So Bashrus, he sat down a bit, but only for a very little bit, because then already that's it. The avelus is over, and now he can go to the bathhouse. Another example the Gemara gives, where we see that from what a person said, you could see something about what kind of person he is. The Gemara says, "Ahuda Amar Dunu Dini." There was a certain person who used to always say, "Judge my case." Anytime he had a discussion, an argument, a business deal with somebody else, he would always say, "Let's go to Beis Din." Amri, so they said, "Shmamina Midun Kaasi." That goes to show he must be from Shevet Dun. As the pasuk says, Don will judge his people like the unique shevet of the Jewish people. The Rashi over there explains that it refers to Shimshon, but more generally, we see that Shevet Don has a certain affinity towards Bate Dinim and always going to Beis Din. So this guy must be from Shevet Don. Another
question.
Example. Yeah.
Yeah. On the Dinim of Avelus,
yeah.
Why are we linking the date of the Shmua to the amount of Avelus? For the person who hears the Shmua, he's really an Avel. It doesn't make any difference whether the person passed
sort of
a year ago.
It sort of does, because the fact that it's Shmur Rechoika, the fact that it's only 30 days after the event, means that the pain and the grief is not as intense as it would be if it happened right, as if you heard it right away or within the first 30 days. So anyway, that's how it is. Lahalocha. I mean, I suppose if a person wants to sit more, maybe they'd be allowed to, but the Chachamim, I guess, figured that if a person hears Shmur Rechoika, then they're less likely to be so deeply affected by it. Continues the Gemara. Hahu dehava ka'ozel v'omer. There was a person who was walking along and saying, "Akef yama asisni birosa." By the shore of the sea, if I had palaces to build, I would build them only there. He's always talking about how much he loves the sea and how much he'd like to live there. If I had a palace, that would be the only place that I would build it, would be by the sea. Then that's Rashi's first explanation. Then he brings from the Trubas HaGaonim that the word asisni or asna berosa means that he's saying everything by the sea is better. Even asna, even the thorn bushes by the sea, berosa, are as great, as important as the cypress trees elsewhere. So like in his mind, everything involving the sea, even the plants that grow near it, is better and greater than anywhere else. So the Gemara says, bodku v'ashkuchu demizvulun kasi. They checked into it, and they found that he was from Shevet Zvulun. Dichtiv Zvulun l'choif yamim yishka. And as the pasuk says, Zvulun will dwell by the sea coast. So we see that Shevet Zvulun has a certain affinity for the sea. An interesting point that Mephoshim make is why by the second one, it says bodku v'ashkechuhu. They had to check into it. Whereas by the first one, they just said shmamina. There's a few reasons. One of them, that the first person, it seemed fairly obvious that must tell us something about his yichus, because most people don't like to go to Beis Din. That this guy liked it and is always saying, let's go to Beis Din. There's good reason all by itself, therefore, to think that he's from Shevet Dan. Whereas the second one, okay, lots of people like the seacoast. Maybe most of them don't exaggerate as much as this guy, but still. Another interesting point, though, that Maharam Chalava makes is, with the second person, they were concerned there might be a little bit of avodah zarah involved over here, because after all, you have people. There are certain people who worship the sea as an avodah zarah. You have Bayitzias Mitzrayim, you have Baal Tzifoin over there, Al Hayom, by the sea. So therefore, they had, when he's talking always about the greatness of the sea, they had reason to be concerned. Maybe he's doing it because he's actually a thing of avodah zarah, and therefore they had to check into it and found that no, there's a perfectly innocent explanation. He comes from Shevet Zvulun. Okay. So now we're done with that piece of Agadah. Now we're going to get back to Halacha. So the Gemara says, "V'hashda d'kaimelon d'lechulam alma ur urtahu." So now we've established that everybody, both Rav Huna and Rabbi Yehuda, agrees that Ur La'arba Aser in our Mishnah means the evening before the 14th. Not like we thought that when Rav Huna says Nagihi, he means the morning. No, they both mean the night before the 14th is when you check for chametz. But the question is, why that early? Mehdi, let's consider. Bein l'Rabbi Yehuda, bein l'Rabbi Meir, both according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir, later on in our perek, we're going to have the machlokas about this. Chametz ena osir ela meshesh shoyis l'mayla. They both agree that midaraisa. They both agree that midaraisa chametz is only osir after 6 hours have passed of the day from chatzos hayoyim and onward. We're going to talk about later on in the perek, dirabanan, that you have times earlier than that you're not allowed to eat, that you're not allowed to eat chametz and that you have to burn chametz. We're going to have a machlokas, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Huda on that. But they both agree that daraisa you have until the end of the 6 hours. So v'nivdek b'shis. So why don't we check, why don't we search for chametz at the beginning of the 6th hour? You have an entire hour there to search for chametz and burn it before it becomes osir. Why do you need to do it the night before? So now, of course, Rashi says, of course, the question is only once we established that Ur means night. If we still had the supposition that Rav Huna by Nagi meant the morning, then we could say that's what he means. When he says the morning, he means the late morning within the hour before Chametz becomes awesome. You're going to answer maybe, okay, well, you don't want to delay a mitzvah till the last possible time. A mitzvah should be done at the earliest possible opportunity. But even so, if that's all it is, nivdek mitzafra, then fine, we should be checking in the morning. We still don't need to do it the night before. We should be able to do it first thing in the morning. Dichtiv, as you find in a pasuk by Mila, uvayoy mashmini yimol b'saro lo. So the pasuk says on the 8th day, you do the bris Mila. Vitanya, and we learn in a brisa, kol ayom kulay kosher l'mila. Really, the whole day is kosher for Mila, because after all, the pasuk doesn't say baboiker or something like that. It says by yoyim hashmini, implying that any time during the 8th day is a valid time for Mila. Elish is risen makdimin l'mitzvus, but the zrizim, the people who are careful and punctilious about mitzvahs are and eager to do mitzvahs, do it early in the morning. Do it the first thing in the morning. Shenema vayashkim Avraham baboker, as it says that Avraham woke up early in the morning for the Akedah. So we see, even though Avraham is eager to go and do what Hashem tells him, he still didn't leave the night before. So we see that there's no particular thing of zrizin makdim lemitzvahs the night before. So why do we say over here that? So why are we saying over here that bedikas chametz has to be the night before? Tosfos points out that you could say maybe the reason Avraham didn't go at night is because a Talmid Chacham is not supposed to go out alone at night. So, Tosfos says that maybe what it is the fact is Shluchei Mitzvah ain't a Nizokin, so if he's going for a mitzvah, then he would have gone by night and he wouldn't have been worried about that. He also had Shnei Na'orav Imoy. When you have a different time, when Avraham woke up early the morning after he had davened for Sedoim and went to go check out the situation, then it says, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, fine, then you can say, we learn from that he shouldn't go out at night, because then there's no Na'orim with him, and he's not going for a mitzvah. But here, by the Akedah, he could have left the night before. There's a few other answers that Mephoshim give. One of them is that it says that the first thing he did in the morning is saddle his donkey, Vayashkim Avraham Baboker, Vayachvesh his Chamorei. After all, if Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvah supplies the night before, he could have saddled the donkey earlier. And then this way, the moment Alois HaShachar comes, then he and Yitzchak and the two Na'arim are ready to set off. The fact that he didn't seems to show that there's no particular point of Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvah any earlier than Alois HaShachar. So why does Bdikas Chametz have to take place the night before? On the side over here, it brings a different, the Rif has a different girsa in the Gemara over here, that from Avraham we learn the basic concept of Zrizin Makdimin LeMitzvah. Logic should dictate then that that means only from the morning. Why are we saying the night before? Anyway, Amar of Nachum Yitzchok, the reason is why you have to do it the night before, B'shar Shebnei Adam Mitzuyin B'vateihem, because you need to do it at a time when people are commonly at home. So during the daytime, that's not going to be. People are out and about. V'oraneu Yofel L'bdikah, and you also want a time when candlelight is good to search by. Because during the daytime, a candle is not as bright. You have the expression the Gemara uses in some places, Shraga Batira Mai Ahani. What good does a candle do in the middle of the day? So if you need to use candlelight. We're going to learn later on Daf Zayin, the Gemara is going to derive from a chain of psukim the whole thing is derabanan, fine, but that the concept of searching for chametz has to be done by candlelight. So we have to dafka do it at night, which is when candlelight is going to be effective. The Taz, by the way, points out an interesting point that you need both of these reasons. Otherwise, if you just had Mishal Shabnet Adam Mitzurin Bavatehem, you could do it anytime during the night. It wouldn't dafka have to be at the beginning of the night, because anytime during the night, people are home. And if you only had the reason, Oh, Hanu, Yofel Abdika, if you had only the reason, Shosh Bnei Adam Mitzurin Bavateim, what if you have, for example, some people, you have, for example, it could be late in the day. It could be people don't come home exactly at night. People come home a little bit before the night begins. So therefore, maybe you could do B'dikas Chametz then. On the other hand, Ur Anu Yofel B'dika would allow you to do it anytime during the night. By putting those two reasons together, you dafka want to do it at the beginning of the night. So Amar Abaya, Hilkach, Abaya says, therefore, since now we're saying that B'dikas Chametz has to be done as early as possible in the night, then we learn from that, Hait Tzurva Merabonon, a young Tamad Chacham, Lo Liftach Be'idne, he should not begin his time of learning. Idna means time. Rashi says, Lo Yascho Be'girse, if he has a kvius to learn Torah by night, he should not begin with a topic of learning, on the evening after the 13th, going into the 14th. By the way, here we see the word nagi is used for the night, like we said before, like Ravona used. Dilma mashchale shmaite, because, well, so the right way we said in Ravona's place, they called night nagi. They used it as a euphemism like this. They don't have to use the word darkness. They could use light. But yeah, so Abaya is saying you should make sure you don't begin learning then closer to that time. Dilma mashchale shmaite, because you might get absorbed in the learning. And you're going to get held back from doing the mitzvah. And this is the halacha. Now, again, we said yesterday, you have a machlokas among the poskim achronim when the proper time for bedikas chametz is. Is it between shkia and seis, or is it after seis, which is what the Alter Rebbe holds? But in any case, during that time and shortly before that time, a half hour before that time, you're not allowed to go and start learning. Or do anything else. It even talks about in Shulchan Aruch what the dinim are as far as davening ma'ariv l'maisa. If you're davening with a tzibur, then fine, you daven ma'ariv first, and then you go to do b'dikas chametz. But there's a number of things that you can't do during that time before b'dikas chametz, because then you may get distracted and end up not doing it at the proper time. Lighting candles. No, this is whether, I mean, you have as far as Hanukkah, you have something similar but here we're talking about B'dikas Chametz, okay. I mean, we're saying over here not to begin. So you have a bit of discussion among the Rishonim. What about, is he allowed to be, what about suppose he began long earlier? What if he began learning 2 hours earlier and now he's still in the middle of his learning when it comes the time of B'dikas Chametz? Can he still continue until he's finished, or does he have to break off and do B'dikas Chametz? Alter Rebbe seems to say the second way, that nevertheless, you know, it's still a mitzvah iveres, it's a mitzvah that's where the time is going to be. Yes, in principle, you can do B'dikas Chametz anytime during the night, but you are supposed to. Takanas Chachamim is to do it as close as possible to the beginning, especially we said yesterday, that Raivad holds, that that is why the Mishnah used the words "er," that the Mishnah wanted to imply that you do it when there's still a little light left in the sky. So therefore, you need to do it as soon as possible. And yes, that means even if you began your learning or whatever long before, then you would have to stop and do it. Okay. Bo minemer ab Nachmei Yitzchak. Hamaskir bayis lachaveire ba'abo asr. If a person rented a house to somebody else on the 14th of Nisan, al mi livdeik, who is responsible for doing the bedikas chametz? Ala maskir livdeik de chamira didehu. Do we say the maskir has to do, the landlord has to do the bedikas chametz because it's his chametz? Or maybe the soicher, the tenant, has to do the bedikah, the isur b'rishus koi, because the isur, the chametz, is located in his rishus, because now the house is his. So Tosfos explains that we're not talking about where he rented it to him on the 13th. Where he rented it to him the 13th or earlier, that we're going to talk about later on in the Gemara, what the din is. We're talking about that he rented it to him actually on the 14th. But the question is, do we say, on the one hand, we can say, therefore, the landlord had a chiyuv of bedikas chametz for before he rented it. So therefore, that maybe that chiyuv still remains with him even now. Or maybe not. Maybe it gets transferred to the soicher because now the chametz is located in his rishus. Well, that's the point. We're saying it is the maskir's chametz. But nevertheless, we could say now that it's in the soicher's rishus, now it's in his apartment. Maybe therefore he has a chiyuv to be boded. There is some discussion with that. Let's say he didn't. Who would be chayev for Bal Yiro or Bal Yimotze? Would you say that the landlord is chayev because it's his chametz, or would you say the soicher is chayev because it's in his apartment? Or I think the Maharam Chalava says maybe neither of them would be over on a Daraisa level, but we still have. You know, we said you have to do Bedikas chametz anyway, Midrabanan, because for all the reasons that we talked about at the beginning of the Masechta, according to Tosfos, because you might eat it, according to the Ran, because you might not be Mevato Belev Shalom, etc. Yeah. Okay, so the Gemara says, Toshma, we'll bring a proof from a case from the din of Mezuzah. Hamaskir bayis lachaveira, if a person rents a house to somebody else, ala socher lasis le mezuzah, the tenant has to put up the mezuzah. So we see, therefore, that things involving mitzvahs are the responsibility of the tenant. So therefore, pashtus, that applies to the bedikas chametz as well. The Gemara says that's not a proof. Hosam ha amar mesharshia mezuzah choyves hadorhi, because in that case, the mezuzah is taka the responsibility of the one who lives in the house. It protects him, right? And the pasuk says, "Chasavta mamazuzas beisecha uvisharecha." The word beisecha, we also darshin to be bioscha when you come in, which is where we learn also that you put it on the right side because most people are right-footed and they walk in with their right foot first. So the point is, in other words, that therefore, so yeah, the one who lives in the house. So it's not a. The Gemara had thought that the Gemara had thought that mezuzah is an obligation on the house. But no, we're saying the mezuzah is an obligation on the person who lives in the house. In yeshivish terminology, it's gavra versus cheftza. The chiyuv is not on the cheftza of the house, it's on the gavra, the person who lives in the house. As opposed to bedikas chametz, and if the landlord doesn't rent out the place, he's still going to need to do bedikas chametz. You can't say nobody's living there, and therefore he doesn't have to do it. So hochamai, so here, what would be the din? Would we say maybe that it's enough that he's just mevatel it? We said that the chachamim said that you still have to do bedikah. So the question is now, who has to do the bedikah? Amalahu Rav Nachman Yitzchok Tanena. So Rav Nachman Yitzchok says we learn in a braisa the answer to it. The braisa says hamaskir bayis lachaveira, if a person rents a house to somebody else, im ad shalay mosolay mafteches chala ba'aser. If the 14th of Nisan begins before he gave him the keys, then the landlord has to do the bedikah. If he gave him the keys and only then the 14th began, then the tenant has to do the bedikah. So Rashi, the night of we're talking about. Yeah. So in other words, so if he gave him, now what's the point of giving him the key? Rashi explains that the giving the key constitutes the kinyan, that now they had agreed between them, they signed all the papers and everything, but that doesn't make the lease valid al pi halacha yet. Only when he gives him the key, only then is it considered that now he was koneh, and now it becomes his place. Tosfos disagrees with that, because we see that we don't say that we find elsewhere that karka is not acquired with giving over keys. It's acquired with kesef, shtar, or chazaka. So Tosfos says it's just a practical thing. We're talking about once he gave him the key, then the landlord doesn't have the ability to get in there anymore. But Pashtos, they didn't have in those times like you have now, where you can just make any number of copies of the key. So why would Rashi say that's a kinyan? So there are achronim. There are achronim. I think the Magen Shloima and others talk about that. That still, it might be. It still might be sort of like a kinyan of chazaka. I think they talk about or something. But yeah. No, because Tosfos brings from the Gemara that just like when you buy karka, it's kesef shtar or chazaka. The same thing when you rent karka, it's the same din. Shtar or chazaka, where he actually takes physical possession of the place. So anyway, Tosfos says we're talking about over here. He didn't necessarily take physical possession. He didn't yet do chazaka, but he has the key. Therefore, he's able to get in. The landlord's not. So therefore it'll depend. So it's just a practical thing of whether he gave over the key or not. There is further within that. There is a machloikus we're showing him whether in fact we are talking about that a kinyan had been done or not. The Beis Yosef talks about it one way, and then other the different achronim talk about it the other way. The Alter Rebbe, I think, ends up concluding that we are talking about that a kinyan was done. So in other words, when do we say that the soicher has the responsibility to check? Only if a kinyan was done and he has the keys. Okay. So that's the answer. Therefore, so it depends on that. Next, bo menemen am nachn Yitzchok, hamaske bais lachavere ba'aba also. If a person rents a house to somebody else on the 14th of Nisan, cheskosei boduk oy ein cheskosei boduk. Is there a let's say it was in the morning of the 14th. Is there a chazaka that he already did bedikas chametz? Because after all, the chachamim say to do it, and we assume that he did it. Or does it not have a chazaka that it was checked, and therefore the tenant himself is going to have to do bedikas chametz now on the morning of the 14th? Then what's the mind nafkamina? What's the practical difference? L'shaylei, just ask the guy, did you do bedikas chametz or not? If he says he did, then we can believe him. He has nemon, or a yid has nemonos on such things. The answer is de l'shalyuli. Let's say he's not around to ask him, so he rented the place and then he immediately left town. So now the question is, now do we need to be matriach, the tenant, to do b'dikas chametz just in case the other guy didn't do it? Or do we say that no, we can give a chazaka to the house that by this time he must have done b'dikas chametz, and therefore it would be fine? Amar lahur of Nachum Yitzchok t'nisua. So again, Rav Nachum Yitzchok says we have a braisa that addresses this. A braisa says, "Hakol ne'monim al biur chametz." Everybody is trusted when it comes to biur chametz. To say, in other words, that last night the Baal HaBos did bedikas chametz. Afilu noshim, afilu avodim, afilu ktanim. Even women or avodim or children. Now we have to ask: women and slaves and children cannot give edus. So how can we accept their edus? The reason must be my time of mehemni. Why would it be that we believe them? It must be. It must be because the house has a chazaka that it's already been checked, and therefore so therefore the tana of our braisa holds hakol chaverim heim etzel b'dikas chametz. When it comes to b'dikas chametz, everybody is considered a chaver, meaning the same way as we say as far as truma and meiser really, because truma everybody does, but we say there's a difference when it comes to meiser. There's a difference between a chaver and an amaretz. A chaver, we buy produce from him, or the Gemara is going to say now we find produce of his. And we know right away that it was Meiser because he has a Nemonus on it. We assume right away he has a Chazaka that he'll take Meiser as soon as he can. The same way when it comes to B'dikas Chometz, everybody is considered a Chover. They're going to do it. They're going to do it sometime during that night. So therefore, we should believe him. Tosfos actually says, in that case, then why do we have to ask the Noshim V'Avodim Uktanim at all? If it has a Chazaka, if the Chazaka that it's Boduk is strong enough, then we should just say that Chazaka is good enough. So Tosfos says that, okay, still, the fact is, given that the balabas or somebody else is around, then you still should ask him. In general, Tosfos doesn't expand on the idea, but other Rishonim do, that when you even when you have a chazakah, I think the Ran talks about this, you still, if at all possible, you shouldn't rely on the chazakah. You should ask. So therefore, you would ask the balabas, or if he's not around, then you ask the noshim v'avodim uktanim. So you ask, and therefore we can believe them. But the Gemara is assuming that we're believing them only based on the underlying chazaka that the bedikas chametz was already done. Where do we see this concept of a chover? The Tanya, we learn in a brisa, chover shemes v'hiniach megura malei peres. If a chover passed away, so he's trusted about meiser, and he died and he left a whole bin, a megura means like a bin or a storehouse or whatever, full of peres. Afilu hein bnei yoyman, even if the gemar malacha of them was only done that day. It still has a chazaka that meiser was taken from them, because a chover doesn't allow ein chover motzi mitachas yadoi davar she'ein mesukan. So the same thing over here. Even the Amei Aretz, we trust them to do bedikas chametz, so therefore they're considered chaverim relative to that. By the way, the Yerushalmi does point out that this case of the Megura would all, now you could have, for example, a guy was, let's say, killed in a car accident or something, you know, Lav Davka. So the Yerushalmi says, you're right, it would only be Shemnes Mitoch Yishuv, only if he passed away peacefully. So you know that, and you know there was no Tiro Fadas, there was no, he hadn't gone senile or something. So then you know that he's going to have taken care of it before he passed away, right?
And it called him on the cell phone to ask if he checked the place before he rented it, and while he was answering the phone.
Yeah. Okay. Onward. Yeah. Okay. So the point is, in other words, that the same way as we believe, the same way as we have the chazaka that the chaver took meiser, the same way we should have the chazaka that the landlord, you know, who was the owner of the house, did the bedikas chametz the night before, like he's supposed to do. So therefore that would answer and that's why we can believe the nashim v'avodim uktanim. So therefore that would answer the question. You rent the house the morning of the 14th. You shouldn't have to check it again, even if the balabas is not available to ask. You should be able to rely on that chazaka. But the Gemara says umimai. Who says that inference is correct? This that we're saying that the women and so forth are nemonim, maybe it's for a different reason. Maybe it's different over here because they're actually saying the noshim or avodim or ktanim are saying that bedikas chametz was done. Maybe that's enough reason to believe them. But lav davka, in the case that they asked Rav Nachman Yitzchok, nobody's saying anything. The guy rented the apartment and then left town, because he wants to be able to get to wherever he's spending Pesach or whatever. So nobody's saying anything one way or the other. Maybe the chazaka is not good enough. The Gemara says, "What do you mean? What do you mean? Otu amir dahani midi meshasha ispei? What is this that they're saying anything? Does that count for anything? They can't give edus." So after all, then we have to stick with our original assumption that it's not because they say anything at all. We're only asking them because, like we said before, you still shouldn't rely on the chazaka if at all possible, but we're not fundamentally relying on them. We're fundamentally relying on the chazaka. So the Gemara says, Ela mai de chaskose boduk. Okay, so what are you telling me then? That a house on the morning of the 14th, a Jewish house, has a chazaka that bedikas chametz was done. In that case, hay hakol ne'emonim, then why is the Braisa using the expression hakol ne'emonim, that everybody is believed about bedikas chametz, even nashim avodim uktanim? The expression should have been kol abatim b'cheskas b'dukim b'avosim b'ayilei. The expression should have been, it doesn't depend on what they say, all houses have a chazaka on the 14th that they're checked. So the fact that we're saying hakol ne'emonim sounds like it has to do with what they say. Well, if it has to do with what they say, then there's no proof for our case where nobody is saying anything. So the Gemara says, Ela mai mishum amira dahani. So then in that case, so what are you saying? That we're only saying that it works because these people said that bedikas chametz was done. Ha loy amri hani loy. So in the implying, therefore, if they didn't say anything, then you couldn't assume that bedikas chametz was done, and you would have to do it again. In that case, fakir tifshit min eden chaskosi boduk. You could still answer the question, but the other way around. You could say, obviously, therefore, that shows that the house itself does not have a chazaka of having been checked. If somebody tells you that it was checked, then fine, you can believe them, even though they're psulei edus. but you need somebody to tell you. So we'd still be able to use this braisa as an answer to the question. It would just be the opposite of what we thought before. Uh-huh. Yeah. But the Gemara says, loy, not necessarily. We can, after all, say that we do mean the house itself has a chazaka that the bedikah was done. But the scenario we're talking about over here is the muhsak londoloi bodak. On the other hand, against that, we have a chazaka that we know that this person did not do the bedikah. We know, for example, we saw that all the night before, for example, he was busy. He was out of whatever it was, traveling or busy or whatever. And we know for a fact that we have a strong chazaka that he didn't do the bedikah. So now we have one chazaka counteracting the other. Exactly. So we have the chazaka on the house. On the other hand, we have the chazaka on him. V'ka'amri hani badkine. Now the noshim or avodim or ktanim say we did the bedikas chametz. So now the question is, so we should say maybe the chachamim should not trust them, especially because bedikas chametz does involve a lot of tircha. So not necessarily are they going to bother with that tircha. They might say that they did bedikas chametz when they really didn't. Kamash malon. Therefore, the braisa is telling us that you can still trust them. Given the bedikas chametz derabbanan, who, because since the whole concept of bedikas chametz is only derabbanan, the midaraisa bebitul ba'alma sagile, because after all, midaraisa, all you need is bitul, as we'll talk about in a second. Therefore, heimnu rabbanan bidrabbanan. Therefore, when it comes to a din derabbanan, where the chiyuv only exists derabbanan, they themselves said you need to do bedikas chametz. They also said that we can trust what these people are saying. Even though, Tosfos says, usually we anyway, it doesn't matter, Daraisa or Darabonon, usually when something is biyodam, we trust them. For example, we trust women in the kitchen about kashrus, right? Because it's biyodam, even though they can't give eders. So why don't we say the same thing over here? Tosfos says the reason is because bedikas chametz, there's a tremendous amount of tirche, and you need a lot of dikduk. You have to look in every corner and everything. So therefore, so you might actually have the Yerushalmi says noshim atzloni is saying women are not as zoris about it. So therefore you would have thought that you can't trust them, and therefore we're saying lahalocha you can because it's only dirabanan. With that said, though, actually, the Alter Rebbe does mention in Shulchan Aruch, if you're going to appoint a shliach to do bedikas chametz, better that it should be somebody or god or ben das. If you can't, then fine, you're able to use a woman or like we're saying over here. But l'chatchila, you should have a god or ben das to do the shlichus of bedikas chametz if you can't do it yourself.
Question.
Yeah.
What's the question? If bedikas chametz is midrabanan and there's no reason to doubt it's not, how come in the previous discussion we alluded to the fact that if he does bedikas chametz, he may cancel the bitul chametz? How can that be if one is the arista?
Well, first of all, no, because okay. So you're asking how could the bedikas chametz cancel out the bittul if one's deraisa and one's derabanan? First of all, because again, bittul is belev. Keep in mind that we'd said before the Rambam says bittul is belev. Bittul chametz requires that you actually sincerely think in your mind that I am being mevatel this chametz. So therefore, if you don't have that in mind, then it's not a valid bittul. That's what we're going to discuss now about.
That's not an answer.
No, that's that not an answer. That is the answer.
No.
Therefore, no. Okay. So you don't
we're
like
talking about a beetle that's really a beetle.
A beetle that's really a beetle. Midaraisa, that would be enough. Midrabanan, we want you to do bedikas chametz as well for the various reasons that we talked about, including, as Tosfos says, Shema Yovel Ochlo, you might come to eat the chametz, or because you might undo your bittul and try to be zoicha in the chametz again, which is a point that we mentioned that some rishonim make, or that the bittul itself may not have been belev shalom in the first place. Rashi, anyway, at the very beginning of the Masechta, had said that if you don't do bedikas chametz, you're going to be over on bal yiroa, bal yimotze, meaning, in other words, that we discussed that according to Rashi, in other words, even to a certain extent, bidikas chametz is daraisa. You have an actual chiyuv to get it out of your possession. Which actually that brings us now to one more second just to finish off with something interesting as far as this business of noshim. So Tosfos is bringing over here from the Yerushalmi noshim atzloni is saying actually the Orach HaShulchan argues that nowadays it shouldn't be like that. Adam, but now you see the women are more fanatical about getting rid of every vestige of chametz than the men are. So maybe Adam. But okay, maybe he argues the halacha would change based on that, but lav dafka. Anyway.
Question number two.
Okay, one second. Let's learn about the matter of bittul over here, and then we'll see. Maybe that might answer your question number two. If not, then... We can have questions in the middle where it's needed for the understanding of the Gemara, but let's talk about first the matter of Bittul Ba'alma and the matter of Teshbisu. We'll see if that answers your question, and if not, then we'll see whether we can do it now or leave it for the end. Okay. Rashi explains over here, why is Bittul Ba'alma Sagi? Why indeed Midaraisa would Bittul be enough? Because the Pasuk says Tashbisu, you should get rid. Now, Tashbisu can mean you should get rid of Chametz. However, if it meant to get rid of it, would have said Tivaru. It would have said you should destroy the Chametz. Tashbisu just means hashbasa delayed. It just means that you're getting rid of it in your mind. That in your mind, you're thinking, I don't want this Chametz anymore. Therefore, midaraisa, that would be enough. It's not yours anymore, and therefore you wouldn't be over on bal yiro or bal yimatzah. Tosfos argues on that. The word hashbasa does in fact mean destroying it. Tomorrow we're going to learn, Bez Hashem, when we talk about when chametz is also daraisa, we're going to mention the word tashbisu, and we're going to say that there comes a point when chametz is also to have around anymore. So Tosfos says that no, the reason why Bittul is good enough, Daraisa, without actually getting rid of the Chametz is because you've made it Hefker. Once you've made it Hefker, it's not yours, you're allowed to have Chametz, at least on a Daraisa level, you're allowed to have Chametz in your possession that belongs to other people. We're going to learn about that tomorrow, Beis Hashem. So in this case, it's Hefker, it doesn't belong to anybody, therefore you would be allowed to have it in your possession. There's a couple of other points that the Rishonim make about the mechanism by which Bittul works. The Ran mentions an idea that, like this, we're going to say later on in the Gemara that after Chatzos on the 14th of Nisan, from then throughout the rest of Pesach, the Chametz does not actually belong to you. It's not Birshusay, but the Pasuk treats it as if it's Birshusay in the sense that if a person does have Chametz in his Rishus, then he's punishable for it. He's over on Bal Yoro or Bal Yomotza. And if he actually did a Maiset to do that, then he would be Chayev Malkus. And he's also the Shech, the Korban Pesach, and so forth. So therefore, once he does Bittul, he's showing, I don't want the Chametz anymore. I don't want this that the Torah wants to consider it in my Rishus. I don't want it in my Rishus anymore. Therefore, on a Daraisa level, that would be good enough. The Ramban makes another point also, that when we make it Hefker, we say it should be Ka'afra Da'ara. It should be like the dust. So therefore, in a certain sense, that makes it as if it was like the dust. So on a Daraisa level, that would be good enough. The Rabbanon, as we're going to say later on, we need Bittul, as we need Bedikas Chametz as well, because you might eat it, etc. So those are the various explanations, and then there's different other discussions among the Achronim about the exact mechanism of Bittul, but that's the idea, in other words. So again, according to Rashi, the fact that it says Tashbisu doesn't mean you have to destroy Chametz at all. It only means you have to be mevatel it. According to Tosfos, Tashbisu does mean you have to destroy it, but that's if you weren't mevatel it. If you mevatel it, then being mevatel takes it out of your reshus, and then you also don't need to destroy it. So the point is, the Gemara is saying that therefore, so all of that, so the whole concept that you have to do Bedikas Chametz rather than doing Bittul is only Dirabbanon, and therefore when it comes to something Dirabbanon, we can believe even Noshim Ba'avodah Muktanim. You still have some Mefarshim who say we still do need the Chazaka that the house has, that it's Baduk, in order to strengthen that. Otherwise, maybe just by itself, that wouldn't be reason enough to believe them, given that we're saying there is a Torah Gadol, there's a tremendous Tircha in doing Bedikas Chametz. The bottom line is, though, the Gemara has not really answered the question one way or the other about if you rent the house on the 14th, whether you can use the chazaka that there was bedikas chametz So the halacha is that you can assume that the bedikah was done, because in general people do it on the 14th. If against that you have the chazaka, like Rashi says, that we saw that he was busy, we left the day before, then you would need something else, then you'd need some other evidence that the bedikah was done. Okay. Iboilahu. So now that does that answer your question, by the way? Yeah. Okay. Iboilahu. The Gemara says. Okay. So fine. So ask the question at the end, and we'll see. Well, then we'll try to deal with it. Iboilahu. We have another question. Hamaskir bayis lachaveira becheskas boduk. Suppose that a person rents a house to somebody else on the chazaka that it was checked. So the renter assumes that it was checked. Umotze she'enei boduk, and then he comes in there and he finds that it wasn't checked. He finds chametz all over the place. Mahu, what is the din? Mi havik mekach tos oiloi. Do we say that it's considered a mekach tos, and therefore he can say that I don't want to rent the place after all. I want you to give me my money back, and I'm not going to rent it because there was an implicit tenai over here that you're going to do bedikas chametz, and it wasn't oiloi, or maybe not.
They rent out
bungalows for Pesach. Yeah, it's a very, yeah. Toshma de Omer Abaya, so we can bring a proof. Abaya says, Loi mi boya ba'asra de lo yavi agra. Needless to say, now you have like this. There are places where people would hire other people to do bedikas chametz for them. You have to realize, by the way, nowadays, I mean, we do our Pesach cleaning for weeks or however long before Pesach, and by the time it comes bedikas chametz, there's so little chametz left in the house that we have to put out 10 pieces in order to, in those times, it seems that the bedikas chametz was the actual cleaning for chametz of the house. Yeah, you usually would use up most of your food before Pesach, so you didn't have anything left to sell to the goy. But practically speaking, it wasn't like you'd be spending a month before Pesach scrubbing down your house like we do it nowadays. You would the night before Pesach, you would be getting rid of any little bit of remaining chametz that you may find around your house. So some people would hire people to do that, and other people would do it themselves. So Abaya says, Loi mi boya ba'asri de la yavi agro bodku. Needless to say, if it's the kind of place where they don't hire people to do it, they do it themselves, then we say it's not a mekachtos, de nichale la'inish l'kayumi mitzvah begufe, because a person would rather do a mitzvah with his own guf. So therefore, even if he had known that bedikas chametz had not been done, he wouldn't have said it's a mekach toros and I don't want to rent the place. He would say I'd still rather do the mitzvah myself. Ella afilu ba'asra diyavi agro bodku, says Abaya, even in places where they do hire people to do bedikas chametz, still it's not considered a nekach tos. The fact that now he has to hire somebody to do it, because a person would like to have a mitzvah done with his money. This is negei halacha in other areas of halacha. This that we, for example, we say that you can borrow somebody talus or tefillin, for example, is based on that. There's no chisaron to him in it, and he would like to have the mitzvah accomplished. So. Because here there is chesaron. Mind you, there is. By the way, there is a machlokas aposkim. Actually, can the renter can the tenant say to the landlord, okay, but at least you should reimburse me for the money that I have to pay to have somebody do bedikas chametz for me? Yeah, because maybe not. To in Shulchan Aruch it brings both opinions. The Alter Rebbe says the landlord, after all, can say kim li. I hold like the opinions that say that I'm not obligated to do that either, as you have such a concept in Choshen Mishpat that when you have a machlokas aposkim, then one side or the other can say kim li. I hold like such and such an opinion, and therefore you want to prove that you want to get the money. I'm moitzim chaver l'varaya. You would have to show that the halacha is not like that. So what does cheskas boduk mean, right? So maybe cheskas boduk doesn't mean that he actually said that it's boduk, but we assume. In fact, Tosfos says we're not talking about on the 14th of Nisan at all. If he rented it on the 14th, then we said before that the maskir is going to be the one responsible to do the bedikas chametz. We're talking about he rented it on the 13th or earlier, so there's not necessarily. So there's not necessarily reason to assume that he did the bedikah, but yeah, you still have so maybe it is talking about even where he advertised and said it was checked, but still fine. It might be false advertising, but is that reason enough for it to be considered a mekach tos? So the answer is that no, it's not considered a mekach tos because he'd like to have the mitzvah done even if that costs him money. So again, you have poskim who say, you have rishonim who say that he is entitled to a reimbursement of the amount that he has to pay for somebody to do bedikas chametz, and you have another opinion that says he's not even entitled to that. He's doing a mitzvah, yeah. Doesn't matter whose chametz it is. At this point, it's in his possession. We said on Amud Aleph that once you gave him the key, yeah. Okay. If you tried to pull that nowadays, yeah, people would not like it at all. Yeah, that's true. Okay.
I think there might be a difference between you just assume it and he advertises.
It's possible.
For your Pesach, so you don't have to clean, you can rent this.
It's possible, I suppose. I mean, another distinction might be, in fact, to tackle the fact that nowadays Pesach cleaning is much more intense than it was in those times. You can't get it all done in one night. So therefore, there might be more reason if somebody advertises a place that's clean for Pesach and it turns out it wasn't, you might have more of a claim a mekach tos, because yeah, you're not going to have the time to be able to take care of it before Pesach. I don't know. It's a good point. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to start on a discussion of at what point on Erev Pesach does chametz become osur. So we said on Amud Aleph that from the end of the sixth hour is when it's osur daraisa, and then you have the Chachamim imposed an extra hour or 2 hours as a safety margin, as we're going to talk about in more detail later on in the parak. But first, we have to establish where we know that chametz is osur from the middle of Erev Pesach, from Chatzos on Erev Pesach. And by the way, you have a question. Is he actually, once the sixth hour comes, if he has, we can say he's over on Tashbisu, he's over on the mitzvah Esser that he didn't get rid of or be mevatel the chametz. Is he also over on Bal Yeroa, Bal Yomotze? That is a machlokes rishonim. It seems that Rashi holds that he is over also on Bal Yeroa, Bal Yomotze. And Tosfos and other rishonim say that no, Bal Yeroa, Bal Yomotze only kicks in the night of Pesach. Okay. So Tnanhos, and we learn later on in our perek, Reb Meir Omer Ochlin Kol Chomesh V'Sof from the Tchilas Sheish. Reb Meir says you can eat chametz throughout the fifth hour of the day, and you burn the chametz at the beginning of the sixth hour. So in other words, you know, nowadays, let's say Erev Pesach, Chatzos, Erev Pesach is around 1 o'clock. So according to Reb Meir, you'd be allowed to eat chametz until 12 o'clock, the end of the fifth hour. Then you would have 11:45, whatever, yeah. And then after that, then at the beginning of the next hour, a little bit after 12 o'clock, is when you burn it. And then 1 o'clock comes chatzos, and it's also daraisa. Reb Yehuda says you can only eat during the 4 hours until 11 o'clock, let's say, which is how we usually have it. Sof zman achilas chametz usually comes out nowadays a little bit before 11. V'tolin kol chomesh, we suspend the chametz throughout the fifth hour. You're not allowed to eat it, but you don't yet have to burn it either. During that time, you could still sell it to a goy, for example. You could feed it to animals. We're going to learn at the beginning of the next perek. V'sofen, mitchilas sheish, you burn it at the beginning of the sixth hour. So, dekulei alma miha, so that everybody, both Reb Meir and Reb Yehuda, are agreeing, chametz mishesh shoyis l'mayla osur, that chametz is osur from the beginning, that chametz is osur from the beginning of the sixth hour, from the end of the sixth hour. In other words, obviously it can't be that the issur daraisa of chametz begins only in the evening, because we're going to say later on the chachamim put in a safety margin because it may be cloudy and people don't know what time it is, but you know the difference between day and night, even if it's cloudy. So if the issur of chametz only began the night of Pesach, then there'd be no reason for the chachamim to make a gzera that you have to stop eating it and you have to burn it much earlier in the day. Like Shabbos, yeah. You have Tosfos Shabbos, fine, but you don't say that Tosfos Shabbos begins at 11 or 12 o'clock, right? So the question is, Minolon, so where do we know that chametz is also from the middle of the day? Omer Abaye, Trei Kroi Ksivi. So Abaye says, because you have two psukim that talk about the issue of chametz. Ksiv Shivas Yomim Sa'ur La Yimotz V'Teichim. You have one pasuk that says that for 7 days, no sa'ur, which is sourdough, should be found in your house. Implying that for the entire 7 days, as soon as the 7 days begin, you already have to have sa'ur out of your house. Uchtiv, but then you have a pasuk, ach bayom rishon tashbisu sa'ur mevateichem. Then the pasuk says, however, on the first day, you have to get rid of chametz. On the first day implies that you already had chametz for part of the first day, and now a little bit into the day, you're getting rid of it. Ha ketzad, so what does that mean? It comes to include that the bir has to take place on the 14th. In other words, the word Rishon over here cannot possibly mean the first day of Yom Tov. It has to mean the day before Yom Tov. And we're going to see later on how we know half of it. But later on, the Gemara is going to explain that the word Rishon can mean preceding. We usually think the word Rishon means first, but the word Rishon actually can mean preceding. So therefore, it can mean the day preceding Yom Tov. Okay, so the question is, v'emel rabbis leile chamisha asa labir. Okay, maybe it means that you have to get rid of chametz on the night. On the night going into the 15th. In other words, fine, Yom Tov begins the night of the 15th, but maybe the issur of chametz only begins the morning of the 15th. Disalkadai dechamina, you could think that. Yomim ksiv, after all, the pasuk says shivas yomim, and yomim ein leilas loy. You might have thought that yomim means only the daytime hours, not the nights, and therefore kamash malan afilu leilas, and therefore by saying ach bayimarishon tashbisus shivas yomim, or ach bayimarishon, comes to include the night as well. So fine, so that would mean, in other words, so Pesach begins the night of the night going into the 15th. The isser of chametz, you might have thought, begins only the morning after that. So therefore, the pasuk is telling you, ach bayimarishon, to tell you have to get rid of it the night before. But where do we see that it applies even sometime during the day on the 14th? So the answer is, hahu lo yitzrichalei. You wouldn't need a pasuk to tell you that the isur chametz applies by night. Deha itkash has bosha sur la'achilas chametz, because we have a hekesh between getting rid of sa'ur and eating chametz, that when you're not allowed to have sa'ur around, then you're also not allowed to eat, or the other way around, when you're not allowed to eat chametz, then you have to get rid of sa'ur. You have the pasuk says, sa'ur lo yimotze b'vateichem, ki kol oicho chametz, or machmetzes, actually. So we see that there's a comparison. When do you have to get rid of the sa'ur? At the time when you're not allowed to eat chametz, v'achilas chametz, v'achilas matzah. And in turn, you have another hekesh between eating chametz and eating matzah. That when there comes the point when you have to eat matzah, which is beginning from the beginning of the night of the 15th, then you're not allowed to eat chametz. So we see, therefore, putting those together, the result is that automatically Hashbasa Sur begins the night of the 15th. So you don't need a separate pasuk to tell you that. So if you have a separate pasuk, it must be telling you that it already kicks in on the 14th. So like this, what are these hekeshim? Hashbosa sa'ur la'achilas chametz. We have a hekesh between eating sa'ur and eating chametz, between getting rid of sa'ur and eating chametz, that whenever one is also, the other one is also. Dichtiv shivas yomim sa'ur lo yimatzu v'teichem ki kol oicha machmetzes v'nichrasa. The pasuk says for 7 days sa'ur should not be found in your house, because anyone who eats machmetzes, which machmetzes, by the way, means not just chametz, but things that have chametz mixed into them. We're going to talk about that later on in our Masechta. V'nichrasa, then they get kares. So we see that there's a hekesh between getting rid of sa'ur lo yimotze b'vateichem, sa'ur has to be gone from your house, because anybody who eats machmetzes is going to get kares. So we see whenever one applies, the other one applies. V'achilas chametz, v'achilas matzah, and in turn, achilas, eating chametz and eating matzah, there's a hekesh. Dichtiv kol, a couple of psukim later, it says kol machmetzes lo sechelu b'chomesh v'seichem teichlu matzes. It says you should not eat any machmetzes. Everywhere where you live, you should eat matzah. So as soon as you have the chiyuv of eating matzah, you have the chiyuv of not eating chametz, which begins by the night. And we know uchtiv b'matzah b'erev teichlu matzes. But when it comes to eating matzah, the pasuk says you have to eat matzahs in the evening, at night. So therefore, so putting all that together, you have to eat matzah beginning from the beginning of the night. That's when the chiyuv of matzah begins. Therefore, you're not allowed to eat chametz from the beginning of the night. Therefore, you have to get rid of sa'ur from the beginning of the night. So automatically, we know all that without needing any other psukim. So we don't need the pasuk ach bayim arishon, except it must be telling us that there's sometime before the first night of Pesach when you need to get rid of chametz. And that would be, in other words, sometime on the 14th. Okay, so the question still is, the question still is ve'emel rabbis leil yudal labir. Okay, but maybe then what it means is that already on the night going into the 14th, you have to get rid of chametz. Where do we see that you only have to get rid of it sometime in the middle of the day? The answer is bayoim ksiv, because after all, the pasuk is bayoim harishon. We said before that the word yoim in the narrower sense means yoim and not laila. So like this, the pasuk could have said Borishon, and it would mean the night as well. The fact that it says by Yom Borishon means that it's only by day. So then the question is Ve'emim et Safra. So maybe the Isur Chometz begins already in the morning. Where do we see that it begins at Chatzos? The answer is Ach Cholak. The word Ach, the fact that it says Ach by Yom Rishon, so the Ach makes a division and tells us within that day itself. This part of it is Osir and part of it is Mutter. So then the logic is that it means half and half. Half of it is Osir, half of it is Mutter. Rashi says another explanation is that the word Ach itself, we have those different ways of interchanging letters. And after that, it brings in Tanya, for example, the concept that you have the letters of the Asara Ma'amorais which Eibush created the world, that though you have Chilufim and Tmurais, you have one letter exchanged for another, and from them come lesser Nivroim, and so forth. You have in Sefer Yetzirah and in many other places in Sifrei Kabbalah, it talks about these various interchanges of letters that you can do. One system is called Achas Batagif. We learned about it in Masechta Shabbos. What you do is you divide the Aleph Beis into three groups, each group of seven letters, and the letters of each group can exchange with each other. So Aleph goes together with Ches, which is the eighth letter, and Samach, which is the 15th letter, and you can exchange one for the other. Beis goes together with Tes and Ayin, Gimel with Yud and Fe, and so forth. And then at the end, you're left over with one extra letter because you have 22 letters in the Aleph Beis. So you put it together with the last group, and you have the last group is Zayin, Nun, Shin, Tov. So now, working that over here, therefore, the letter Ach, the letter Aleph can exchange for Ches. The letter Chof of Ach can exchange for a Tzaddik. So you have the word Chetz, which is related to the word Chatzi, which means a half. So therefore, the Pasuk is hinting with that by taking the word Ach and transforming it using this Achas Batagif, you end up with the word Chetz, meaning that half the day is Osir and half of it is Mutter. This is Rashi brings this. So either way, whether you just say that Ach means that you just Ach itself means that there's a distinction because the miut, or whether you say specifically the miut is based on the word chetz, the point is that we end up saying that that's where we get that the Isur Chometz Daraisa begins in the middle of the day on the 14th. Midaraisa, it begins at Chatzos Hayom. So we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with various other possibilities where we learn that the Isur begins by the middle of the day, but that's the bottom line. Once we establish it begins in the middle of the day, then we have the concern that we're going to discuss later on in the Perek, that it's a cloudy day and people don't always know exactly what time it is and so forth, and therefore the Chachamim had to put in a safety margin of an hour to a Chokah of an hour or 2 hours. But that's all based on the fact that Midaraisa, the Isur kicks in at Chatzos, in the middle of the day. The Rashi over here, Ach Cholak. Okay, so we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, with more potential ways of learning that the Isur of Chometz, that the Mitzvah of Tashbisu begins at Chatzos. Again, you have the question of whether the Isurim of Bal Yoro or Bal Yomotze begin at that time also, which is, by the way, it's Negeil Halacha. Now, usually Bal Yoro, Bal Yomotze is usually a lav where there's no mice involved. You have chametz around your house, but you could have a case. Let's say a person buys chametz or a person makes dough and lets it become chametz. There, they actually did a mice. So the Rambam writes, a person is getting Malkus then for being over on Bal Yoro or Bal Yomotze. So the question is, if a person does that the afternoon of Erev Pesach, is he going to be Chayiv Malkus or not? If you say that Bal Yoro or Bal Yomotze applies at that time, like Rashi says, then yes. If you say that it doesn't apply until the night, then no. He's over during the afternoon. He's only over on the Esse of Tashbisu.
Question.
Tashbisu means to get rid of, which again, we said according to Rashi, Tashbisu is accomplished by being Mevatalit. And according to Tosfos, no, Tashbisu does mean getting rid of it if you weren't Mevatalit. If you're Mevatalit, then again, you made it Hefker, or as the Ran and the Ramban say, you made it, you showed that you don't want it in your possession. You made it Ka'afadara, et cetera, so that's good enough, but yeah. Okay, so yeah,
question. What's the
question? Yeah.
So why does the Torah have to tell us Bal Yirai, Bal Yimatzi? It's obvious if it's Bal Yimatzi, it should be Bal Yirai. Why do we need both?
No, because there can be two different cases. You can have chametz we're going to talk about later on. We're going to talk about Be'ez Hashem, that there are two different isurim over here. Those chametz should not be seen and those chametz should not be found. You have cases where you have one versus the other. You don't always have. Usually they go together, which is why we think of them as one unit, Bal Yoro, Bal Yomotze, but they are in fact two different lavim, because it is possible to have one without the other. We're gonna talk about that later on. We're gonna talk about that in the next couple of blocks, Master Hashem, how you can have Bal Yeror without how you can have Yeror without Yematze and vice versa.
You can have Yeror without Yematze?
Yeah, we're gonna see. We're gonna talk about it, Master Hashem.
Mm-hmm. And regarding the dwellings now, I know many people here in Crown Heights who just sell their chametz and they leave. They don't do anything else.
Ah, so selling the chametz, the vort is, that's what we were talking about at the beginning of the Masechta. The Alter Rebbe explains, right, when you sell the chametz, okay, so then it's not your chametz anymore. So then you've still accomplished tashbisu in that sense. You've gotten rid of the chametz in your possession. So fine. There are actually halachas, which we're going to learn about the difference between whether you leave your house within 30 days before Pesach or more than 30 days before Pesach. There's a difference. What you hear, once we establish that derabanan, there's a mitzvah, b'dikas chametz, then the question becomes, what happens if you leave within 30 days of Pesach or more than 30 days before Pesach? What is your chiyuv? So even those people, you're talking about, they sell their chametz and they go out of town. If they go out of town within 30 days, they do have still a schiyuv of a bedikas chametz. So either they would have to leave one house, they'd have to leave one room in their house unsold to the goy and then do bedikas chametz there. Or another possibility is they're doing bedikas chametz where they're going, wherever they're going for Pesach, they're doing bedikas chametz over there, and that could work also.
Well, I mean, if you have to do it in one place, you have to do it in all the places that you have
in
your possession.
That you own. You have to place it. You have to do it in all the places that you own. But if you sell,
and they don't
sell your house. If you sell the house to the goy for Pesach, then you don't own it, right?
Don't you have to still check it before?
That's what I'm saying. It depends whether you left within 30 days of Pesach or more than 30 days before Pesach. We're going to talk about that later on. We're going to talk about that later on Daf Vav, Daf Zayin, I think. We're going to get into those halachas.
Sure.
Okay.